This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Orthodox Radio Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Martin, for soon I will be starting back to dear old Charleston far away. Since Roosevelt's been reelected, we'll not be neglected. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Since Roosevelt's been elected, moonshine liquor's been corrected. We've got legal wine, whiskey, beer, and gin. Take a drink of brandy and let myself be handy. Good old times are coming back again.
Hallelujah!
You can laugh and tell a joke. You can dance and drink and smoke. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. We'll have money in our jeans. We can travel with the Queen. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. No more bread lines. We're glad to say the donkey on election day, no more standing in the blowing snow and rain. He's got things in full sway. We're all a-working and a-getting our pay. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Since Roosevelt's been elected, moonshine liquor's been corrected. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again.
All right. Well, we're obviously getting back to the political hoo-ha tip here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade tonight, which you're listening to. Listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I'm Bill Weinberg, and we're opening up with, well, let's see. That was, of course, up at the top, The Psychedelic Furs with President Gas, probably written for the 1988 election, if memory serves, or maybe it was 1984. And then the new Lost City Ramblers, recording probably sometime in the early 60s or late 50s, covering a song by that extremely prolific character, Trad, or Anon. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's back again, probably written for the 1936 elections. And that's kind of what I'd like to poll the audience about, perhaps, when we take listener phone calls, is... Is this what is the correct stance for the elections of what year are we in now? 2008. My goodness, is it just President Gas again? Is it just another example of the electoral farce and being offered illusory choices by the system, or is there actually something worth voting for this time around? And is Barack Obama, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and McCain, Herbert Hoover. That's what I would like to ask you, the listener. But meanwhile, we've got some activists on board who just got back from the protests against the Republican National Convention in Twin Cities, who are going to give us a blow-by-blow account. Welcome back once again. Bill, time's up. Say hello, Bill.
Hello.
Is your mic on?
Testing.
There we go. One more time.
Hi, everybody.
And Leanne Nikitovich.
Hello.
And Justin Ford.
Hello.
Hi. So what hats are you guys wearing tonight? Are you all with Time's Up Environmental Group?
Yeah, and yes. We were down there documenting the events.
Mm-hmm. And my goodness, 800 arrests, 120 felonies. And what, around five people arrested on heavy-duty terrorism conspiracy charges?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. Considering the amount of people that showed up, that's a lot of arrests.
And it got hardly any media coverage. Very, very little media coverage, apart from WBAI.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues here, is that the national media really did not tell the whole story, and the independent media was actually targeted with intimidation, raids, and generally, you know, kept from doing their job in many ways.
Once again, yeah, and that's why we were there to try to help out with that, you know, just document things that happen at these events, and obviously to Time's Up, free speech and the right to assemble is very important.
Well, our own Amy Goodman was arrested there, and as well as two co-producers from Democracy Now, and face conspiracy charges, I understand. So, well, Leanne, you were there also in some media capacity, correct?
Yes. We went there as the Time's Up Video Collective, mm-hmm. To observe and to film, you know, what was going on in the city. And Amy Goodman was arrested the first day. Two of her people were arrested. And then she went to talk to them. I guess she came out of the convention center to get them. And she had her press badge pulled off by an officer. I think it was Secret Service, and they arrested her.
It's really Secret Service? The actual
That's
arrest?
That's what she actually said.
Well, they might have been there, but, I mean, the arrest was carried out by the local county.
Right. Well, what was actually said in her words were that the Secret Service person was the one who sort of took off her badge, and then she was arrested by perhaps sheriffs. That's what was said. So.
Right.
And there had been, you know, obviously it was a weird situation because there was a storm coming into New Orleans, and the President Bush was maybe going, maybe not going. The whole RNC seemed to be very confusing in the beginning, and this confusion led to even more confusion, and certainly the police seemed to take advantage of that. And prior to it even starting, a couple of days before, there had been people being followed around, unusual First Amendment activity around searches and seizures, and at least a couple of places that Leanne could speak to were actually raided, and two of them, a lot of the people were from New York City. Different collectives were down there, like the Glass Bead Collective.
The what?
The Glass Bead Collective. They were also shooting video down there.
Glass Bead?
Yes. And they were big in New York City in the Republican National Convention here. You know, a lot of people were there documenting also eyewitness video.
Well, basically, I think these independent media groups went down there just to get settled. You know, so they could do their job, which was to video and observe and produce independent media from that. So there were a couple of incidents that happened. The first one was that the Glass Bead Collective, three members of that, were actually detained for no apparent reason. And
right, this was in the context of a demonstration? Or
no,
was
this before
was, this
everything
was
started.
4 days, 3 or 4 days before the convention, so maybe 4 days.
In a raid on a house.
No, they had gone to pick up one of their members at the bus stop and were a few blocks away from the house that they were staying. Mm-hmm. And
so they had presumably been followed.
Yes, presumably.
Hmm.
Two police cars came from different directions, and they were detained, they were searched, they were photographed, and all of their possessions were confiscated.
And then there was a lot
including their equipment, I assume.
Right.
Well, luckily they didn't have too much. They had one computer, I believe. There may have been a computer. I'm not positive about that. They were able to. They got a lawyer through the National Lawyers Guild. I think Bruce Nestor helped them, and they were able to get their things back fairly quickly for St. Paul.
So they did get their possessions back.
But a lot was a lot of media. I mean, there was a lot.
Well, they were able to actually go through their computers or whatever. They did not receive the license and the cash of one of their members.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that was kind of a big event in the media in New York City because it was a local group. Actually, some of the press releases were sent out from New York City, and there was a lot of energy and publicity that was kind of trying to embarrass the police to get this release. Like, what are you doing confiscating people's computers and cameras without even arresting anybody? It's a very unusual. But sometimes this happens, as we know, with bigger actions. Before the action starts, the police try to set something to scare people or to intimidate people. And in this case, there was a lot of events that kind of happened before the demonstration started. But they all seemed to be based around intelligence gathering and people that were doing, like, the press. And
right. So before the protests even started,
The week before and the last weekend before.
They raided houses and so on where people were staying.
Yes. Fact, yeah. Friday they raided the Convergence Center of the RNC Not Welcome Committee. They raided that, I think it was Friday night. They also raided a house where Eyewitness was staying. It was.
What's eyewitness?
It's a video collective.
Yeah, eyewitness video was very key to getting a lot of the charges dismissed in the last Republican National Convention that took place here in New York.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the figures, but at least 800 arrestees were cleared of charges because of video evidence.
Really?
They were somewhat helpful in that.
And that's eyewitness with a capital I.
Capital I dash witness video.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen Clancy was staying in a house there. And Elizabeth Press from Democracy Now, and a few other people, Sarah Coffey, who was an attorney, a volunteer legal attorney there. The house was surrounded. They locked themselves inside. There wasn't a warrant at that moment. Sarah Coffey came out to speak to the officers. I think it was an FBI agent who first showed up earlier asking some questions with a sheriff. And then later the house was surrounded by what was somewhat like a SWAT team. And then when Sarah Coffey came out, she was put in handcuffs. They waited a couple hours for the warrant to appear. The warrant was actually for the house next door, or it was 949, and they were in 951.
Mm.
So they did not consent to the search, but they were taken out anyway, and the house was searched.
So there seemed to be a pattern.
Oh, but no arrests were made in that particular... And people were detained while they searched the house, but they didn't actually arrest anybody.
No, the press was alerted very quickly, and so a huge press contingency came up, and the neighbor next door let all the press into her backyard. So the police were under very careful watch from the New York Times and all of the local press, as well as Amy Goodman, who gave them a bit of a hard time.
All right, so I'll bet she did.
Yeah, so there was like a pattern of definitely investigating and maybe seeing what's going on and harassing and obviously searches and seizures of people that were definitely there to document the event, which had the videotape, as we know, has been very powerful to show, a lot of the things that are happening on the street that can later be used to free people in lawsuits. Certainly seen from the RNC in New York City, a lot of the same people, the key people that were shooting video, they got a lot of the charges dropped, were kind of either harassed or more likely just there had been a lot of police investigation into them before it even started.
Well, and let me just say that also they're showing independent media shows a side of the story that is obviously not being told by the national news media. There's so much more to the story that we have not seen on national news.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Well, that's stuff.
Well, let's get into that, in a minute.
Right.
But
we actually witnessed a lot of the stuff there.
Yeah, and so these people, so the various groups that were in independent media, basically. Were always running from one house to another, and hardly anyone would take them anymore because they were afraid they'd be raided. So there was this intimidation that kept people from being able to work well, and there was constant surveillance on all of these people throughout the week, and, it was uncomfortable.
All right, so what was the context of the media people getting arrested? And it was quite a few. It was Amy and her two producers and also a few other independent media people. How did that come about?
Okay, well, I think we should. I guess that took place in the first day of the convention, and I'm not sure, Bill. Do you want to talk about how that first day began? And
that would be a Monday, right?
That was on
Monday. Official
day.
I mean, they had a critical mass. Do you remember the huge critical mass in New York City? The RNC critical mass.
Yeah, of course.
Over 5,000 people came out, and it was really great. That was a great day.
Well, it wasn't great for the people who were busted, but
yeah. But still, it was like something that was really powerful and showed the city that we weren't fooling around. Certainly, Time's Up hosted over 30 different events that whole month promoting non-polluting transportation. We call it the BNC, the Bike National Convention, and within that, even though it's not our event, was this huge critical mass. So there was a critical mass. The RNC critical mass, and that started Friday. It was pretty much not hugely attended. I heard there was something over like around 700 people, which is great numbers, but certainly not the whatever 7,000 we got in New York City. So the critical mass ride happened on a Friday. Supposedly the police commissioner was at the beginning handing out water and said there's going to be no problems here, everything's going to go well, and I don't think there were any arrests or anything like that. So then the first official day was really Monday, and that Monday we were just getting there, a lot of us.
We were a little behind on the news because we had just arrived the night before.
Yeah.
But there was an anti-war march that was going on, a permitted anti-war march that was able to go as near to the Excel Center as possible.
And that was probably the largest march of the whole thing, and people had just came in for that day. So the numbers on that we don't really have, but we could definitely say it seemed to be possibly, you know, definitely over 5,000 people.
Yeah.
I would say over 10,000 people.
I would say over 10,000.
And that was the first day,
it was reported,
the huge march, and the Excel Center is where the convention was being held in St. Paul's, and there was this fence that went around it, and you know, obviously the perimeter fence that as we go to these large demonstrations, people are used to seeing these large fences.
All right, this was a fence which was erected specifically for the RNC.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The entire city of St. Paul had fences erected specifically for the RNC.
Right.
So it was, for me, I've never been to one of those things. I have been in New York when we had the convention, and I've never seen anything like this.
Right. And for the people who were at Seattle, and Seattle was such a great momentum thing because the people actually did what's called a surround, and they surrounded the building, and they prevented the delegates from coming in. Ever since that incident, the city will spend millions and millions of dollars to build these fences so people could never get in to do their own surround because then the fence surrounds, and it's a different type of, instead of the people encircling a place where delegates or people going to can't get to, this fence now becomes the perimeter, and it's a real custom-made fence. You got to see it. It almost looks like a T shape at the bottom, an upside down T, and it's a fence about 8 feet tall. And if you stand next to the fence, you're actually standing on a piece of it, so you can't push it over because you're pushing your own weight over. So it's a very sophisticated, expensive piece of equipment. Of course, the rumor is that they didn't have enough police in St. Paul, and they don't, but they definitely did. I mean, we witnessed a lot of stuff, including, which I thought was very strange, I definitely witnessed the National Guard, and the National Guard was not three blocks away like they usually are. They were right up front, and I actually saw them with sticks in their hand pushing people at one time. So the National Guard was involved in this thing, which is another matter in itself. And, Bill, you know that big word? Go ahead. Spill it out.
Posse comitatus.
Right. For our people who know a lot about the law and ancient politics, where, you know, it has a lot to do with not using the National Guard against your own
people.
Well,
I mean, the Posse Comitatus Act was passed in the aftermath of the Civil War and basically means that the military can't be involved in domestic law enforcement, and it has been very dramatically eroded under President Bush, as we all know.
Right, and as the demonstrations I've been to, the National Guard is usually there, but they're a couple of blocks away, and, you know, every year they get a couple of blocks closer, but this time they were right up front. It was difficult because they didn't have badges on, but I did kind of follow them, and they did get in Jeeps. So they were in these khaki camouflage uniforms, and usually they do not, you know, engage with protesters or pedestrians, but they definitely did some engaging, not much, but definitely did some pushing and managing people, large groups of people, from getting too close to the Excel Center, which is, you know, one of the things we were there to research, document, and see.
Okay, so it was also on that day, Monday, a week ago yesterday, that the journalists were arrested for the most part.
Well, let's get to that. Okay, so there were some other smaller groups there. There was the anti-war march, and then there was also a small group of younger people called Funk the War, who basically had a great sound system that they rolled around and played some great music. And they...
What kind of music?
Bill, what was the music?
I don't know. It was kind of like the Reclaim the Streets, the Wagon People, the
yeah.
dance. Oh, yeah, they were really great. And, you know, let's
was
not...
Was it like real old-school funk?
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, with these demonstrations, sometimes you have a little bit... you know, they didn't actually have a puppet warehouse. You know, sometimes you go there and there's a big puppet place. I didn't really see that type of activity. But people came in with different things. So you had the Missile Dick Chicks, kind of people remember them from New York City, possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they're from exactly. You had... the Rude Mechanical Orchestra, who went down there on a veggie-powered bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there
the
was...
Code Pink was there.
Yeah. So there
the
was
lobbyist for McCain.
The usual suspects.
Right.
Yeah. It was quite a colorful...
Lobbyist for McCain,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. billionaires for Bush.
Bill. Nice score on that one.
Okay, so...
So Funk the War started this kind of Reclaim the Streets action in front of the Crown Plaza Hotel, which was probably a fairly prominent hotel where delegates were staying. But at that point in the afternoon, most of the delegates were most likely in the Excel Center, so they weren't exactly impeding anything. But the police really began to amass at this because it was in front of the Crown Plaza Hotel. So that happened, and it got a little hot and heavy. But not too bad. You know, the police seemed to be, you know, they seemed to be holding back and nothing too terrible. And I'm not sure, Bill, you were there the entire time, so you can tell me. I've only seen some of the video of it because I only got there later. But what happened was there was at
Well, there's the official permitted march.
Yeah.
So that had huge amounts of people. And then, as people know,
a huge police presence.
People come with their own activities, and sometimes they do, you know, different spokes council activities where people will grab a piece of the city and they're like, hey, we're going to, like, all jump on pogo sticks. We're going to play music. We're going to lock down. So they broke it up, different parts, different cities. There was even someone there from Berkeley. What was the name of that group? Do you remember?
I don't know.
There was a Berkeley group that was doing some cool stuff. So different parts of the people. Obviously, you know, the parts that gets the media attention would be the Black Bloc. So just to be, I did see some windows that were, you know, First National City Bank that was broken. A couple of police cars looked a little funny here and there. So, you know, along with the larger march, there were different type of activities going on. And certainly some were, you know, fun, exciting, maybe pushing the edge or the boundaries at some point. A lot of it, but that was the big day. That was Monday.
So yeah, so basically this, you know, this was happening. And the police, there were a lot of them, and the National Guard were there too, and behind the line of the riot cops, there were police on horseback, which would come in first. The horseback and the bicycle cops would come in first, and then the riot cops would come behind them, and then they would pull out. It would get more and more serious. The more riot cops you would see, you knew that it was going to get serious. But we didn't know anything the first day.
Yeah, the police were actually slow because this is a city they're not used to reacting in, but they were very procedural, so they had all these things that they would do. And they certainly had tons of money. I mean, there was probably like, I kind of read how much money they had, but it was like incredible amount of money worth of stuff. A lot of stuff was brand new. So as Leanne mentioned, they had these riot cops, and you could pick it, we used to call them the turtles, and they were all dressed with this stuff like black football material with thick padding, and you can see them. They were all shooting around in these minivans. They must have rented like 1,000 minivans, and they'd hop out, and it would take.
Right, this is city police, St. Paul police?
I would assume
no,
so.
Well, actually, there were St. Paul police, Ramsey County Police.
Probably Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, probably. Tucson Police.
Which?
Tucson, Arizona.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why Tucson, of all places?
I have no idea. They were actually the ones who were sort of watching the street corners.
Hmm.
I just, you know, I checked them out, read their badges, and met a few of them.
Hmm.
They were from Tucson, and I don't know, you know. And then there were many, many undercovers riding around in vans, filming people, taking photographs, basically intimidating people. And then there were, of course, those FBI-type people that you're not sure. You know, you're kind of not sure what they are. They look a little intimidating.
A lot of police. And they used them all. I mean, these people were all dressed in this, like, football gear, but it was all black. Then the next thing was, obviously, Leah mentioned, was the horses. They would bring horses in, bring them out. The horses had actually clear plastic over their eyes, so the horses were a little dressed up in a riot. Then they had a bicycle division that was quite advanced. They would lock their tires up. They had cameras on their head. And then they also had a motor.
They lock their tires up.
Well, they would do things that kind of like we used to do where you're blocking a street and you go tire to tire, which means you can create like a wall so people can't get by. So they were very well schooled and practiced, and they were in certain, you know, divisions of 12. And then last but not least was a motorcycle division. And did you guys
right.
see anything else? So they would use all these things, but the thing is they were all equipped with gas masks and different type. And I think I did see some taser guns, but I didn't really – oh, yeah, they did use them in one instance that I saw. And different types, more like instead of having tear gas that propelled a long distance and exploded, they much more had like fire extinguisher type mace units where the mace can be used in a – it can be shooted almost like gas because it's coming out of like a fire extinguisher. It's hard to imagine because normally you're used to seeing mace to mace someone very close to you. These are like mace, but it's in like fire extinguishers.
And they also had these percussion grenade type things
oh, yeah.
which exploded in air. And
right.
Yeah, percussion grenades. And, yeah.
Released a lot of smoke and really cut down on visibility. And
yeah, right. So let's get on to
all
what
right,
happened.
Hang on. I should say that it is 12:31 in the a.m. on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg, and we are speaking tonight with a bunch of activists straight back from Twin Cities in the protest against the RNC. Bill Time's Up, Leanne Nikitovich, and Justin Four. Justin, you were about to say something.
Yeah, another piece of equipment that they had was this sort of mobile shooting platform that had like six wheels. It was like a really heavy-duty golf cart that could go off-road, like almost a four-wheeler, but it had a frame like a golf cart, and then there was a platform on there, and then they would get on top of that platform and shoot at groups of people.
What were they shooting?
Like tear gas.
Well, they did use rubber bullets, I understand, one point.
Mm. Yeah, they might have been shooting some rubber bullets.
Rubber paint bullets, I believe.
Yeah, they had that too.
I mean, they had
rubber paint bullets?
Well, some sort of, I saw something that you would mark people when they got shot by it.
Okay, so you were going to get to the point where the journalists were arrested.
Okay, we've given you a background of what we were seeing, and this is these police were on the streets at that point.
Right.
And at some point, somewhere around 4 or something in the afternoon, they began a sort of almost military maneuver to push people down one particular route. And these are whoever was in the street. You know, as far as we know from the videotape I've seen, nothing particular happened that they would decide to do that, except that these kids were in the street, you know, and they were just, you know, they were trying to disperse the crowd. So maybe it wasn't dispersing in the way they wanted, and maybe some people were holding on. But it started this military maneuver where they maneuvered people down. St. Paul is up on a plateau, and you go down to go to the river, and there's an avenue called Shepherd Avenue. Kellogg Avenue is above, and Shepherd Avenue is below, and then there's the river. There's also a train track that runs along Shepherd Avenue down below. So what happened, what you begin to see is that people are being pushed down towards the river. And so as they all go down, and these are concussion grenades are being thrown, tear gas is being thrown, they're forced down to go down there. They're completely blocked to go anyway but down to the river. So they go down to the river. This is just anybody who was in the streets. So I think people think that they're being, you know, dispersed. So they go down to the river, and then a train rides up and stops so that it blocks all access out of that area. So that it's completely blocked.
Intentionally or?
Yes, intentionally.
A train?
Yes, the trains were used.
A freight train? A passenger train?
Train? The trains were used. There was some kind of use of the trains to buses to bring delegates in from Minneapolis. Mm-hmm.
It
was
something. A commuter train.
Yeah, it was something historical and, you know. So they were in control of the trains.
Hmm.
So this silver train was, and you can see this in the video. The silver train was brought up slowly. The mounted police, the riot cops, you know, they all began to push it, drive everyone down, and then to block them in. And then from the other exit out of the park, now that was all in a park where a lot of the public was coming to try to cross over to hear music for Labor Day at Harriet Island. So you have people from above, some of them who could have just been walking around or bystanders, not involved in any protest whatsoever. You have the press who are following whatever's happening, and you have, you know, people coming out to enjoy the park. Everyone is trapped because they're surrounded from all sides by police, riot gear, trains, everything that they pulled out, everything. Tear gas is being thrown. I'm not sure what it all was. You know, they have different colors, green, red, blue. Concussion grenades.
Different colors of gas.
Of gas.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very colorful. Very strangely chemically colorful.
Hmm.
And there were delegates from the convention down there. There's one delegate for Ron Paul. There was a security guard who was on his way to work. Kids, journalists. So it was somewhere in this that the journalists... Well, basically what happened was they pushed them all to one corner of the park, and there was about 250 people down there, maybe more. And they sat them all down with their hands on top of their head and told them they were all arrested, every single person that was there. So, and I believe there were two journalists from Democracy Now! There at the time, and I think Amy Goodman heard from her phone, you know, that they were there. So somehow, I don't know how she got down there, but she got down there, I guess, when maybe this was happening or something, that they were being herded. And So at that point, they arrested a lot of most of these people, but they let some go. At a later point, they were letting people go.
Well, actually, I got down to I got down to video some of this event, and one by one, I mean, you can't believe how long this took. It took over 2.5 hours to deal with these people. They actually pushed them into a public park, which is going to be really troublesome in the future to put charges on these people because they were arrested in a public park. They weren't individually arrested. I mean, the law kind of has some rules where if an officer sees someone doing something wrong, they go over to him. I saw you do this wrong. I am going to arrest you. I am filling out a police report. That's how arrest is usually done. In this situation, they were being what's called boxed in. They're boxed from all angles. They do a blanket thing on a radio sometimes. Sometimes there's no message at all, and they say everybody's going to be arrested. And then they make everybody sit down. In this case, they made them put their hands over their head. And these are the kind of arrests that we saw a lot of, these boxed-in large arrests, which really can't stand up in court in the long run because there's no, you know, there's no, some of the people could be totally innocent. In this case, there was a lot of people innocent that were just hanging out in the park, intermingled. Sorry.
Okay, now this was all in response to what? I mean, we heard these media accounts that there were some, you know, windows which were broken and some rocks which were thrown and stuff like that. Had anything like that happened up to this point?
Possibly earlier in the day.
In another part of town. In another part of town from these people, completely separate.
Right. That's the problem with these box arrests. I mean, the police in Minneapolis, I mean, in St. Paul at the time, they were so slow that anything that did occur, when they boxed you in, could have happened hours ago. So it could be a whole different bunch of people. But the city was claiming that they had cameras all over the city, and therefore they were going to identify different type of people that were acting differently, which was strange, and they might still be able to do that. So a lot of these people were let go. I filmed them, and they had a brief interview with them after they held them hostage and let them go in this public park. But that was Monday, and that was pretty much the end of Monday. And by the end of Monday,
a lot of people were not let go, and a lot of people were charged with felony rioting.
Right.
And worse, and conspiracy.
Right.
Like Amy, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those charges are
you know, basically,
still intact or not.
To tell you the truth, when I was leaving Minneapolis, a lot of those charges were going to be reduced.
I sure hope so.
But they were certainly, you know, with that. Many people will still get charged with that, but they will be obviously reducing because they know it's pretty obvious they made a big mistake.
All right, and let me just interject that most ominously there were, let's see, how many people? Eight. Eight people who were charged with conspiracy to riot in furtherance of terrorism, quote unquote, under the Minnesota answer to the Federal Patriot Act.
Right.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these earlier things, when we started looking into the warrants of people's houses, why they were looking at people's backpack just walking down the street, there were these people called medics that, if anybody's been to a large demonstration, they walk around with these kind of fishing vests on, all kinds of filled with medical supplies, and they have a big cross that's sometimes made with tape or paint. And they're basically street medics. Some of them are trained really well, and other people are volunteers learning the day, and they walk around, and they were searched a lot, detained and arrested, and then later on, they were saying that they, you know, they're using all that they could have had liquids, and they were using all these terrorism things. And the reason why they got these warrants to search the houses, because they were saying that there might be something in the house that could be used in terrorism. So they kept leaning on this terrorism thing legally a lot.
Right, but basically, what you're talking about is the arrests of the members of the RNC welcoming committee,
right,
who were being surveilled. Who had informants within their group and they were being surveilled. You know, what's unclear to me is that a lot of times when there are informants in a group, we've seen this back at the RNC here in New York, that the reports that came out later of what was said and what was going to be done were absolutely ridiculous from any meeting that any of us had attended, except that sometimes there were instigators and provocateurs who would suggest violence.
Right.
And usually, you know, we as a group would sort of recognize that that is not something that we adhere to and would, you know, would wonder about that person and say, you know, we don't download. So you have to question some of this and some of their evidence if it's coming from paid informants who will not be named by the state because it's a national, you know, because they're informants. So these are all people from the RNC welcoming committee, and that's these charges are, you know, they're facing a lot
mm-hmm.
right now, and they
yeah,
need the support.
These charges are a lot heavier than we've seen in New York City. And certainly the interesting thing is with those type of charges, they might have to reveal who these undercover people are. I would love to get the undercover people back from the RNC in New York, but they didn't actually do this type of, the charges that are here are kind of they would have to have people testify to this. It's a different type of a legal charge.
Well, these eight people face 8 years each in prison
right.
if they're convicted.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, what can become of this is we could maybe find out who these informers are, what their tactics are, and we could learn it and pass it on. So that was the end of Monday that we're talking about. And at the end of Monday, we saw this box thing happen. And then everybody realized that that could be a technique that the police use. You could get boxed in. And then subsequently, there were other days and other events happened, but no march was as big as the Monday march. And I guess Tuesday, was that the day the concerts were?
Yeah, no, it's when Dead Prez played.
Right. Do you know the list of some of those concerts? So, to let people know who are listening, a lot of the stuff like actually happening in the RNC, they weren't sure who was actually going to speak because of the storm, was confusing. The stuff that was happening on the street was also confusing because the police were confusing it and maybe the demonstrators didn't have their days right. It wasn't like the RNC that we saw in New York where there was official time and a place for every event. It was a little more confusing. But one thing that was really awesomely done and was really fun was the music. They had this Capitol. Is that where most of the stuff happened?
At the State Capitol.
The State Capitol, this huge lawn. And people would get there, and there was tables set up, and you could learn more information. And people would come, and there was food there. It was a really great place, huge lawn. Of course, it was surrounded by police. And
this was set up for the protesters?
Yeah, it was really well done.
By the RNC Not Welcome Committee?
Or? I don't think so.
I think that the music at the State Capitol was... I mean, the RNC Not Welcome Committee actually helped everyone sort of connect. So they provided food from Food Not Bombs. And I think it's Food Not Bombs Seeds for Peace. And so there was a different organizer. There was young students who organized this one music.
Yeah,
event.
I forgot the name of them, but the thing was called the Ripple Effect. Do you remember the name of the organizer? No.
Yeah, it was a very green environmental sort of happening on the State Capitol lawn. Do you remember more about it?
And let's see. Try to remember some of the bands. There was what were the bands that were playing?
Dead Prez.
Well, we know Dead Prez.
Well, we heard about, I don't know if this is the same event, but we heard about Rage Against the
Machine.
Well,
yeah, but we're trying to go before that. So
All right, so let's...
There was all these bands.
Michael Franti.
Yeah, all these...
Rage Against the Machine, Dead Prez.
Great bands, and we saw Dead Prez, and then what happened...
They all played that same day, Tuesday.
Yes,
pretty much.
They were supposed to play Tuesday. Well, actually, okay, they were all supposed to play Tuesday. Dead Prez was there.
And then
Michael Franti played, and then Rage Against the Machine was supposed to play. There were two things that happened simultaneously. They were not allowed to play.
I heard that they started playing and they were cut off.
They were cut off. I don't know why. I heard
their sound permit expired. The sound permit for the
State
Capitol for the event.
Oh, okay.
That's what I heard too.
But another march had been coming in from a different direction, a large march.
The Poor People's March.
The Poor People's March that was meeting pretty far away. I think that was an unpermitted march, as it usually is. And we were all at that march. In the beginning, and there was a couple of snatch squads. That means like cops will run in, they'll grab one person, and we all saw this from the beginning of the Poor People's March, and they can kind of confuse people, and actually that's where someone got tasered right in front of me in the street. But then that march, after all this confusion with the police happened, was pretty much the police didn't bother. It went by the jail. There were people in the jail, so we did jail support on the march. It came through the city and then ended up at the State Capitol, where all these people were there to hear Rage Against the Machine, and it was really a great moment. I mean, I ran ahead and I saw Rage Against the Machine was a cappella on stage, and people were singing with them because they didn't have a sound permit, and there was at least 1,000 people there, 1,000 people on the march, and they both joined together and they started walking through the streets of the city. So that was a really great moment.
Yeah, so the energy of both these things came together, and...
But there was more trouble that day.
There
was trouble surrounding the Rage Against the Machine concert.
Well, there was another Rage Against the Machine concert the next day that was a paid-for concert.
They were there all week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I would like to try to wrap up the blow-by-blow in the next 15 minutes so we can take listener phone calls.
Okay.
So keep going.
We should talk about Thursday then.
Yeah.
Okay, we just finished Tuesday,
right? No, we didn't finish it, actually. So that convergence of those two groups of people, they went down to the kind of the protest cage area at the Excel Center and kind of got there and stopped. And people were chilling there for a while. And then something happened further away and people started to move out again.
And then there was just a lot of tear gas and everybody's running.
We had, you know, in that, at that march, we had a lot of people in wheelchairs, young kids, that type of thing. So, you know, that, and they were all sort of, in a way, trapped sort of at the end. It's like, again, so people kept constantly sort of getting trapped and not really knowing where to go, and especially inexperienced people.
A lot of young people there that when the tear gas happened, they were like, what's going on? And I'm like, you should run. So there was just a lot of people that...
All right, so let's keep going with the blow-by-blow.
Okay, so then Wednesday... Let's go for Wednesday.
I can't remember anything that happened on Wednesday.
we went to Minneapolis.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine had a concert in Minneapolis. And
and that was the one that cost $60 a ticket, and this was the official one. And the rumor was that when they came out, we were going to take the streets. And so all the police were there. All the, you know, people in their dark clothes were there. All the people who wanted to see action, and everybody...
I'm sorry, the people in their dark clothes.
Yeah.
What does this refer to?
Well, people who more like want to see some action, you know what I mean? They're there.
Oh, you mean like the Black Bloc types.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly people in the Rage concerts, you know, I mean, it's a good show. They're talking about street stuff, and they're coming out onto the streets, so they file out.
No, I do believe that one of the Rage guys made a plea for... peace.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Well, we weren't inside.
Yeah, we didn't get
inside. We would have talked to them about that. So they came out, and another huge standoff happens. And then, you know, by the end of the night, we're all running. You know, a lot of running going on. And me and Austin, or whatever, another Austin was there.
You guys are getting your pseudonyms mixed up.
Yeah. And then we were running, and we did a lot of filming there. And more people got arrested there. And so that takes us, that's the end of Wednesday.
Well, let me talk about those people that got arrested. Those kids that got arrested were also released soon after. They were not held for very long.
And it was a box type arrest.
And in the meantime, the people who were arrested the first day were still in jail. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just get that straight. They didn't get out till Wednesday.
The first day.
They didn't get
Monday.
Out until Thursday.
The
many
first
of them.
Day being Monday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So many of them didn't get out until Wednesday night or Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're up to Thursday.
Okay.
You got to wrap it up. Let's go fast.
Yeah. So let's get to Thursday. Tell me about the morning Thursday.
Come
Nothing?
On, guys.
Okay. Basically, the students were supposed to get out of school, leave school, and come and meet at the state capitol. That happened in the afternoon. And I think they believed that they were going to be able to go down to the free speech zone, which is an oxymoron, in front of the Excel Center. And what ended up happening about, I think their permit ran out, and about 5 o'clock they all ended up on one of the bridges. There are many bridges that go into St. Paul, so they were all on one bridge, helicopters circling, standoff with police. I think there was one way out.
The first standoff was at the Ireland Street.
John Ireland,
and 12th Street, just north of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that shifted down to, like, there was another thing that happened down at Cedar, and then people went down there, and that's where, you know, actually, I think some people, there was a large group there, a relatively large group that was arrested. There was, you know, a lot of macings.
Well, I think we have to say that that what we observed was that the police did not give any clear dispersal. They may have said dispersal, and some people couldn't hear it, but they were saying northwest. No one knew where northwest was. Only a few people. It was confusing.
And then they boxed people on a bridge.
They boxed people in. People were trying to get away.
How many people do you think were arrested there?
Oh, this you're talking about at the end of the night?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, to get to that point, though, everyone... Okay, so people went back to the state capitol, picked up people who were chilling there, and then maybe I think the group was probably about 1,000 strong, and it went alongside the freeway, along the feeder. And the cops, I don't think, were expecting this. So they went down to Marion and, you know, where another bridge was. There was a little that was further up from downtown and tried to make it there. Well, but then got pushed back north up Marion and then started to circle the Capitol again on University. And at that point, that was a place where the wind was actually blowing away from the cops if they were in the front of the march. So they got themselves in position there, and that's when they really kind of let go with all their firepower.
Yeah, it was in a Sears parking lot, and they really fired on people. And I think people...
With what?
With rubber bullets.
Just about everything they had.
Tear gas.
As far as I could see.
And this huge mace thing, like this wacky type mace stuff that came out of a fire.
A lot of concussion grenades.
And, you know, I felt some of the stuff, and I've been to a lot of demonstrations, and it was definitely more powerful than certainly stuff that I felt in a while. It would, for people who haven't had this happen to them, it burns your eyes right away. You have trouble breathing, and you know, you just feel like really touching your eyes and your face, and you really, you can't see, and it's really painful, and you just have to try to move away. So that's
just, but to wrap it up, so basically after they fired on everybody, then they were like, keep on shooting at people and keep hurting people with all their groups of riot cops and the other mobile units, like the bicycles and the other motorized units, and like pushed them back down Marion over the bridge. As the group of people had moved away from the bridge, the line of cops there had retreated to the they'd moved back to the downtown side of the bridge. So then they pushed everybody onto the bridge and then just did a mass arrest on the bridge.
I think people had the impression that they were being pushed to somewhere where they could leave from or disperse. They were not able to disperse.
Yeah,
really.
At this point, people are panicking because they're being shot at. And over the loudspeaker, the cops are saying something like, you know, there's unlawful assembly. You know, you have to, you know, they basically, over the loudspeaker, were directing people onto the bridge, and then they arrested them all there.
So it was a pretty, I mean, stuff that we didn't hear in the papers, and it was pretty crazy there. I mean, a lot, there wasn't that many demonstrators, but they were certainly treated really horribly.
All right, so this was the last day.
This was the last evening, and it was probably around 10-something at night. John McCain is giving his speech, and about 15, media people were arrested that night.
Okay, and how many, so there were 800 people arrested altogether. How many people would you say were there to protest?
Well, we know the first day was the big day, Monday. We're saying over 10,000 people were there the first day, you know, which isn't huge, but it's
it's respectable.
Yeah, it's decent. And then every day there were obviously less people.
Wednesday wasn't so big, but then Thursday was a little bit of a spike.
I think Thursday was, you know, the Poor People's March for Economic.
Who organized that?
You know, that's a good question. I really don't remember all the organizers. I know Rosa Clemente was there from the South Bronx. She was there helping out, too. And there were some really great speakers. Unfortunately, because of what happened in the corner, at the very time that the speakers were speaking, there was two very strange incidents of one woman being snatched out of a crowd by a lot of riot cops, and then another man being snatched off the street and tasered for no apparent reason.
The woman, she was an indie media activist, right?
She was an indie media videographer, yes.
Yeah, certainly there were parts where we were driving around in a car, and within seconds we would see people being pulled over and getting their backpacks searched. 2 minutes later we saw medics like all laying down, you know, on top of a car and being searched. And then we observed on the highway what looked like kind of a hippie school bus being towed. So there was so much of that going on. It's really hard to describe, where the cops weren't so much like go up to people and beat them up, but they would be saying, what's in your bag? Tell me what's in your bag. I need to search it. So there was so much of this search with this whole terrorism kind of thing that maybe you're a terrorist. And definitely they seized some people's buses, and they sometimes arrested some of these people they searched, you know, if you didn't somehow fit the criteria. So that was the unusual part, this searching of houses, searching of property, confiscating of property.
All right, so let me
cars.
Ask you, what kind of groups were participating in the protests? What kind of issues were being emphasized?
Well, the war.
The war.
That was a big one, the war.
There were a lot of anti-war activists there. What was also being addressed was the distribution of wealth in this country and what the Bush, 8 years of the Bush administration has done to people, especially poor people. Even the middle class is, you know, the disappearance of the middle class.
And there was all these tents set up during the concerts that were, a lot of environmental issues were pretty strong at the concerts in the parks.
Like what environmental issues?
Oh boy, it was they had like almost like a bazaar set up where you can participate in different games and you can throw the ball. There was one thing where it was you throw things in a basket, but it was like actual bottles to recycle. So you throw stuff in.
Yeah, it was a very positive.
Learn how to recycle.
Yeah, it was very positive and fun to go along with the music. It's a group from San Francisco.
What was that thing you were throwing beanbags
at?
Well,
like one specific example, Rainforest Action Network was there with they have a campaign against Bank of America because they're, I guess, investing in coal companies that are, or they're funding coal companies that are doing strip mining and stuff.
I think, you know, it was very grassroots on the side of protesters, very grassroots organization. So you can't really, it wasn't like big, but there are all sorts of things all over. Happening.
Okay, so you guys went to Twin Cities. You did not go to Denver.
No,
did
none of us went
any
to Denver.
Any of you three go
no.
to Denver? No.
No.
Mm-hmm. We have friends who went to Denver, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get a sense of how you all view the elections. How do you view the electoral process this year? And do you intend to vote? I'm going to poll each one of you. You don't have to feel obliged to answer.
It's coming.
You don't have to feel obliged to answer, but I'm going to take the liberty of asking you. So, Bill, you go first. You going to vote?
Yeah, I'm going to vote. But, you know, I work every day in the streets, so we're trying to get people in the streets. So there's a lot of ways to make change, obviously, in the city. And Time's Up really has worked really hard to make change in a different way. But, obviously, there's the other way where you should vote. Obviously, we know in New York City the vote sometimes in the larger election isn't as important. But certainly, you know, we'd love to see someone like Norman Siegel as public advocate, you know. So there's
right, but I'm talking about the presidential election.
Yeah, I'm going
to
vote.
Okay. How are you going to vote, Bill?
Well, you know, you find the school somewhere, and then you go there, and you pull the lever, and then you, like, look around, and they make you sign your name, and you feel weird about that. And do you have to show ID to sign, to vote now? I don't, really don't even know. But if they have those electronic machines.
I sense a certain degree of evasive action here. All right. So, in other words, you don't want to tell us how you're going to vote.
Oh, how am I going to actual vote? I don't think.
Which way are you going to vote? For whom are you going to vote?
Well, you know, I'm an environmentalist, so I am voting green. But there is a little bit of an issue because, you know, Ralph Nader used to be the green. Now there's another person. Someone in the room here possibly works for the Ralph Nader campaign. So, you know, maybe we can get an insight.
All right, so you're going to vote for the green candidate, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I'm definitely torn. I know there's a lot of stuff about Ralph Nader, and maybe we could hear more about it.
Yeah, well, we're going to. Leanne.
Yes, I'm going to vote, although I really am very disgusted with the two-party system. And I guess I think I'm somewhat privileged as a resident of New York State that my vote may not count as much. If so, in terms of if I wanted to vote for Green Party to give that, you know, party a little bit more help to, you know, I could, but probably, you know, I would vote Obama just to make sure. I don't want to four more years.
Well, you said that you would. Does that mean that you will?
Well, you know, sometimes I might have to consider if my vote might help something else, if my vote's not needed in the state of New York.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm seriously worried about other states, though, where the votes are needed for Obama.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay, Justin.
Yeah, I'm probably going to vote for Ralph Nader. He's,
Now, which ticket is he running on?
For New York State, he's running with the Populist Party.
The Populist Party.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell is the Populist Party?
It's a party that he's created.
He's created it, so it hasn't existed before?
I don't think so. Maybe back in the depths of
Well, yeah, there was the classic, you know, Populist Party of a century ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, why don't you explain how Ralph Nader's been running a little bit, because you've been working on his campaign a little bit.
Well, yeah, he's going to be on the ballot in 45 states. The other five are really hard. So, I mean, every state, you know, poses challenges to ballot access. Most every state, there, you know, that are pretty onerous because it's a way that the two parties can keep the system, you know, under control.
Well, I will never vote. I will never vote for Ralph Nader again.
I know, but we have to
the
third party thing here.
I will never vote for Ralph Nader again.
Okay, well, to just speak to that issue real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is...
Well, you don't even know what the issue is.
We all know.
No, you don't. Go ahead. What do you think the issue is?
The Republicans and the Democrats, they're not scared of the voter the way that they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
They because of things like gerrymandering or, you know, all these other things that they use to scheme the system, they don't have the accountability that they need to for democracy to function. And as long as we vote for them, they will continue to not be afraid of the voter.
Okay, but that says nothing about my concerns. So you completely inaccurately guessed what my concern was.
That's okay. I just wanted to say that.
You thought I was going to give you the standard, you know, he's a spoiler line. And that's not my concern at all because I agree with you. I think that the two-party system is at a stranglehold for far too long and that breaking it open is going to entail risk. So that's not my concern, is that he was a spoiler. My concern is that he will share a stage and share a platform with Pat Buchanan and will not repudiate Pat Buchanan's racism or xenophobia. And I'm not throwing all those people overboard. I'm sorry. I'm not throwing immigrants overboard. You know, I called him out personally. I called Nader out personally on that issue the last time I saw him, and he would not take a stand against the wall that they're building on the southern border. So Ralph Nader is never going to have Bill Weinberg's vote again until he repudiates Pat Buchanan. I'm sorry. There's a fundamental question of principle here. Anyway.
And we need proportional representation. That's what I was wanted to say.
Can we ask who you're going to vote for?
Yeah, who are you voting for?
Well, to tell you the truth.
Ralph Nader, I know you are.
Very funny, very funny, very funny.
Because, you know, you'll be closed in. No one will see the vote.
Why don't we play some music and then I'll talk. Let's cut to some more music.
Oh, we've got to take phone calls, too.
Yeah, we'll take phone calls on this question. I'd like to poll the audience. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900 is the number. Give us a call. Tell us if you were there in Twin Cities, what you saw, or if you have any questions about what happened in Twin Cities, you can ask our guests, Bill Time's Up, Leanne Nikitovich, and Justin
Timberlake.
Justin Ford. Or tell us how you intend to vote this year and why. But well, people are calling in at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. Let's hear a little bit more music. And one more from the new Lost City Ramblers. And this one we are going to dedicate to the more historically astute among the 9/11 truthies out there. This one's for you guys.
Called for volunteers, then I got my gun. First Spaniard I saw coming, I dropped my gun and run. It was all about that battleship of Maine, at war with that great nation, Spain. When I get back to Spain, I want to honor my name. It was all about that battleship of Maine. To die. Well, the reason I'm running is because I cannot fly. It was all about that battleship of Maine. The blood was running, and I was running too. I give my feet good exercise, I had nothing else to do. It was all about that battleship of Maine. At war with that great nation, Spain. When I get back to Spain, I'm gonna honor my name. It was all about that battleship of Maine. All about that battleship of Maine. The peas, they was greasy, the meat, it was fat. The boys was fighting the Spaniards while I was fighting that. It was all about that battleship of Maine. At war with that great nation, Spain. When I get back to Spain, I want to honor my name. It was all about that battleship of Maine. What kind of shoes do the poor farmers wear? All broken, cost a dollar a pair. It was all about that battleship of Maine. At war with that great nation, Spain. When I get back to Spain, I want to honor my name. It was all about that battleship of Maine.
It was all about that Battleship of Maine going way back to 1898 with the new Lost City Ramblers. So, should we jump into the unknown and take some listener phone calls at 212-209-2900?
Call.
212-209-2900. There's only three people calling in. I'm always very wary about taking calls when there's only three people calling in. Four is really my minimum. Come on, one person more call, and then we'll take some listener phone calls. There, one person more call. 212-209-2900, WBAI, you're on the air.
Turn
down your
radio,
please.
Off. Hold on.
Yes, you should have done that before. Have the radio, be standing by the radio so that you can turn it down immediately when you hear my voice.
My radio is off.
There we go.
Yeah, it's a pity you don't have any realists on the program tonight. You know, a third-party vote or no vote elects McCain and Vampira, the Alaskan iceberg. We've only seen 10% of what she's all about. And if a black doesn't vote for Obama, they're really a traitor to their race after hundreds of years of slavery. And if you're a Republican, in my opinion, as a black, you're nothing more than a house black. And I don't ever use the word, the N-word. And
I don't think there's any Republicans here. No Republicans here.
Yeah, but there's no. We're saddled with a two-party system, and if you want McCain in, vote wherever you want to vote, and he's still going to be winning. That's the whole problem. Be real, please.
Okay. Hey, we can change our country.
One party heard from. Any responses, or should we go on to another call?
Go to another call.
212-209. 2900. WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm proud to say I never voted and I never will. I got no faith that any vote for anybody in this country is going to change anything. We got a police state and it's only going to get worse no matter who gets elected. And we had our own little tasering over in Tompkins Square Park this weekend.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
The donut incident. Tell us about the donut incident.
Tell us about it.
Well, we went to extraordinary lengths to do an anti-police brutality protest, including going into a federal court. The protest took place at the 9th Precinct. A federal judge went along with the city's ridiculous setting of such a low decibel level on the sound system that we basically couldn't use the sound system. Sturgeon, the lead singer of Leftover Crack, after an hour and a half, got frustrated and threw a jelly donut at the police.
Now, you're sure you want to go on record and say this on the air?
Well, he's already been, charged with attempted assault with a jelly donut. All the charges against him got thrown out, and he's only facing disorderly conduct right now. But the more serious thing is the cops followed him to Tompkins Square Park to arrest him, and when they did, some really brave kids jumped in to defend him and did allegedly some damage to a police car and threw a chair at the cops and
a chair. What the hell was a chair doing in Tompkins Square Park?
Well, sometimes people carry chairs around. I don't know what it was doing there. It got thrown at the cops, I heard. And at any rate, there are now three people up on some serious charges.
What kind? Are we talking felonies here?
Yes, we are. We're talking three felonies. We haven't exactly determined all the charges yet, but we need to talk with everybody about getting together some kind of a benefit because we don't like to let our friends hang out to dry when they get arrested for stuff like this. And one more thing. Both the candidates are supposed to be here on September the 11th. It's a shame that we didn't get together a big protest for that, because they're both supposed to going to be here on the 11th.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will rise to the occasion.
Well, let's hope that happens. And our next protest is going to be at an undisclosed location. We're not using the sound system.
Well, it's not going to be much of a protest if it's at an undisclosed location.
Well, yeah, but only we're going to spread the word and hope they don't find out about it. And we're going to ask people to bring drums, cans, pots and pans, everything you can possibly think of, to stir up some noise, because we finally got something going in this neighborhood again after a long time. And even though we...
This neighborhood being the Lower East Side.
Yeah, being the Lower East Side. But anyway, I would encourage people to think about open rebellion against the state instead of voting, and maybe trying to convince the mass public that voting doesn't change anything and get people to stop participating in this farce.
Okay, another party heard from.
That video of that incident could be seen on, is it Team Spider?
TeamSpider.com.
Yeah, TeamSpider.com. It's called the Donut Incident 1, 2, and 3. And, I mean, that's an amazing thing because we're talking about Tompkins Square Park here where people know there was a riot. So a lot of the stuff we witnessed at the RNC was
so
about...
You know, when people know there was a riot, you mean the big riot,
right,
20
big years riot
ago.
Right, the big riot concerning public space and gentrification. So at the RNC, we saw a lot of people trying to use public space to get their message across. And the caller mentioned that the people were inside the park using our park when they were surrounded by the police, and you can see it on the video. So it's the same thing. It's about using our public space to talk about free speech, and as we know, we have the right to do that in the First Amendment.
And let me just say, I mean, it just brings up something that I didn't mention. One thing that came that stood out really strongly at the RNC was the profiling of the police against young people. If you looked, you know, if you were young and you were dressed a certain way, which was more of a sort of grassroots, hippie-ish, you know, way.
Crusty.
They were crusty. They were definitely profiled, and it's kind of similar. You know, it's the gatherings of people like that is usually suspect. So it's
certainly
right,
leftover crack fans. They might be.
Should we keep going with phone calls?
Yeah.
I think leftover crack is playing tomorrow too.
Really.
We've had one Obama supporter and one anarcho-abstentionist.
Let's take the streets.
Keep polling the audience. WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio. Hello. Hello.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Cynthia McKinney from the Green Party.
Oh, she's the Green candidate, right. Okay.
Yes.
Good choice.
For sure, no doubt about it. She's got guts, you know.
Well, Bill's going to be doing that too, right, Bill?
I'm going to make up my mind in the booth.
Okay. WBAI, you're on the air. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I want to bring up one quick issue about energy policy, okay? And for the two people, your guests that are there, to comment on this, okay? Tom Friedman did a very long interview with Charlie Rose tonight on the telly, and he made some coherent points. But one that I want to bring out, and I just want to focus it very narrowly because there's always a billion things to talk about with candidates and policies and all. In Germany and in the rest of the civilized world, there are tax credits and tax incentives for wind and solar. So this is why Germany has like about a 20-year tax incentive and credit. Right now in Washington, they won't even renew the tax credit and incentive for solar and wind. And you know who's blocking it? The Republicans. This would not happen under Obama. As Tom Friedman says in my last comment, he says, when you're in an airport in Berlin or in these other places, it looks like the
20... Answer your phone, man.
Huh?
Answer your phone.
That's not me. No, I'm not ringing. That's you guys.
Oh, okay, that's us.
That's you guys. He said,
not me.
He said, when you're in an airport in Berlin or in some other major cities, it looks like the 21st century. When you land in LaGuardia, it looks like the Flintstones. What I'm trying to say here is that...
All right, so you're coming down for Obama, I take it.
Because even just for that one issue.
Okay.
You know, and I want you guys to comment on that. I don't want to be, you know...
Okay, anybody have something to say?
I mean, the caller is 100% right. In the rest of the world, there's incentives. You know, in Amsterdam, if you ride your bicycle to work, you get a tax break. Okay.
What is this?
You're getting your phone calls. Who's donating money?
Oh, there we go.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of incentives. In America, there's so much lip service that what we're going to do in the future is this. What we're going to do in the future is, you know, wind power. And there are people on the street that have been doing that for years. The first car was an electric car. So we really do need more real incentives and, you know, not to arrest people when they do something, or put John DeLorean on some charge that he was selling cocaine or something.
I have something that directly addresses that.
Please do.
If you look at the history of progressiveness in America, a lot of stuff is advanced by third parties, and that's how it comes to be adopted by, you know, one of the two major parties co-opts it, something like that. And if you look at the history of energy policy, you know, the Greens and Ralph Nader, that, you know, they've been ahead of the curve, definitely more so than the Democrats. So this is something, you know, the Democrats are finally coming around maybe and co-opting.
All right, let's keep going with our poll of the listeners. So far we've got two for Obama, one abstentionist, and one for Green Party, Cynthia McKinney. The number is 212-209-2900, and we have 15 minutes left. Tell us how you're going to vote. 212-209-2900. Only one caller. There we go, two. WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up.
Down. Okay. Going back to what that caller a few calls back said about not voting, I don't vote, and I would like to paraphrase Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, who said that to vote for somebody every 4 years is just going to repress you and essentially decide who's going to wage war, break strikes, and otherwise harm the working class.
All right, so it's this year is not different from any other election year.
No.
Okay,
no.
Or what about, hang on a minute, what about 1932? Was that any different? Hoover versus
that
FDR?
What happened in 1932 was they totally disarmed the militancy of the working class. The working class, for the workers, were rising up. They were seizing factories. They were barricading themselves.
Okay. Hardcore Marxist position. We've got now two for Obama, two abstentionists, and one Green McKinney. Let's keep on going.
Hey, Bill, who's that guy that runs from jail sometimes? Like, he
runs from jail?
Yeah, he sometimes, like, you see people
about
trying
Eugene
to...
Debs.
Is that what you...
Well, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago.
No, you see people on 14th Street outside the post office.
You
mean,
WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, am I on the air?
Yes.
Yes, I'm voting for McCain because he's the only person that, like, has the guts, you know, to kill for oil, okay? And
right, this is a joke. We're trying to be serious here.
No, but it's the truth.
Oh, it's the truth. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, why do you listen to BAI, then?
Well, because it's like, you know, I'm just trying to get, like contrasting, like, views and things like that. But, I mean, you know.
All right, so you think that we should kill for oil?
There's better solutions. We don't have to do that.
That's the American way.
Okay, why do you think that we should be killing for oil? Why do we, quote-unquote, as Americans, have the right to oil on the other side of the planet? You got to explain this one to us.
No, because, I mean, hey, sometimes might makes right, you know? So, I mean, it's like, you know, if we don't get it, somebody else will.
All right, so either you're trolling us or else you're a complete reactionary Neanderthal and proud of it. Which one is it? Are you trolling us or are you really a Neanderthal?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually.
At least he's honest. Okay, so now we've got the...
Bill, do you have callers who might have been...
Two for Obama, two for Obama, two abstentionists, one Green McKinney, and one troll. So,
maybe we can hear from people who are also at the RNC.
212-209-2900.
Maybe the last caller was there, but...
WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up.
Sure, how's it going? I just want to say I'm voting for Cynthia McKinney of the Green Party, because she's the only candidate that supports me.
Right. Is this your second call tonight, or are you somebody different?
Well, I've been calling, but the first time I got through.
This is the first time you got through tonight.
Yeah, my name is Dave Cale from New Jersey, and voting for Cynthia McKinney because she's the only one that supports a new real investigation into 9/11.
Which is a complete ridiculous waste of time, as far as I'm concerned.
Really? I mean,
absolutely.
It's the new...
Where's the plane, man? Where's the plane?
No, there was planes, man.
An absolute waste of time.
The one in the Pentagon, there was no evidence.
Absolute waste of time and money. Because, look, the conspiracy theorists out there are never going to be satisfied until they get...
Until they find the plane.
They're never going to be satisfied until they get results which vindicate their already a priori position. So it's a complete waste of time and money. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello. Speak up. Turn down your radio.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm voting for Obama.
Okay. Care to tell us why?
He's, can I tell? Yeah, I think he's a better candidate.
Well, we assume
that. I think
that.
He's able to be with people. He's able to, you know, he's able to communicate with people.
Okay, so
and he listens to people.
An intuitive thing. Okay, so we've got three for Obama, two abstentionists, two Green McKinney, and one troll. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio. Speak up.
Yep.
Turn down the radio.
It's off, brother.
Yeah.
Speak. So I'm abstaining from voting actually this year.
You're abstaining.
Yep.
Okay. Why? Why are you abstaining?
I'm abstaining because I feel like it's futile. I think that both sides are just too corporately driven.
So you don't see any distinction between Obama and McCain?
I see there's some social distinctions, but I think in the end run, they're both kind of like driven by the corporate...
All right, so in other words, V, you don't care about social issues. You don't care about a woman's right to abortion?
No, I mean, I do. But I think in the long run, there's going to be
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. No, I do care about social issues, but I mean, in the long run, I mean, Obama is going to be. Look at oil drilling, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's not. I didn't ask you about oil drilling. I asked you about a woman's right to an abortion.
Sure. Okay. But what about his opinion on oil drilling? Right? He was completely against it.
Well, there's something to be said for taking what you can get. There's something to be said for taking what you can get. You know, you have to deal with the reality that we're living in, not some fantasy.
If I may interject,
Please do interject.
I think Ralph said it best about an early election when he said the similarities outweigh the differences, and that's usually the case with these corporate candidates.
Okay, but once again, you have to deal with the real world. I mean, yes, maybe Obama's going to sell us out on oil drilling, although he probably wouldn't be as aggressive about it as McCain would, but what about a woman's right to an abortion? Are you willing to gamble that?
Maybe something has to get really bad before it gets worse.
Oh, the nihilist position.
I don't know.
You know, I would go along with that. I would say, yeah, bring it on. Let's bring on the final crisis of capitalism.
This president being so bad. Look how many people now.
Yeah. I could go along with that if there were, in fact, a strong, organized, militant left in this country. I could go along with, yeah, bring it on. Let's have the final crisis of capitalism. But in fact, we don't. We have no left in this country of a strong, militant, organized, armed right. So that's
Bill,
why
we all got to do our part, and you can't just start. You can't wait for other people to start doing it. You just got to start doing it.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Right. But that's kind of beside the point that we're arguing. Okay, let's keep on going
exactly
with the poll.
The point.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, every week I wonder if you're going to grow up or not. I guess I'm just
answer the question.
Victory.
Answer the question. Who are you going to vote for?
I don't know. I guess I would say Obama.
You guess you would say Obama. Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he looks better than McCain.
Oh, okay. You're going on looks, but you think that I should grow up. WBAI, you're on the air. No, you're not. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
You're on the air.
I'm really going for Obama, you know. I was going for Obama.
Okay, why? Tell us why.
Look, Obama, you know, I mean, just because typically he have two or three years in his Senate, you know, he has, he's clear family values, you know, he could go a long way. I think he was very honest, you know, when it comes to, spending on healthcare, stuff like that, families. But every time I got, Sarah Palin, you know, I get scared, you know, she got most hockey moms on the side right now, you know. But I'm really going for Obama because he has good values, you know. But
okay,
that's what I'm going for.
Another Obama man heard from.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Another Obama.
Turn down the radio. Turn down the radio and speak up.
We got it. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Okay.
I think any logical thinking person would have to go for Obama. So far, he has come from, or at least given us, the strong illusion of coming from a position of integrity. His family background is unquestionable. And, I mean, he's in tune with the issues. He doesn't think that middle class is anybody earning between $1 and $5 million. Okay, he knows how many homes he owns. He has two children, not seven. Okay, and he's had one wife, not two wives and one.
Well, I'm not so sure that should be determining.
Come on, he's
who
got the best. He's got the
best.
Well,
I mean, the Republicans are pushing the family platform.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. No, yeah, calling the Republicans out on their hypocrisies is totally legitimate.
He's voted
Listen, we got a full, as always happens in the last 5 minutes, we got a full board. So I'd like to keep going. Justin, briefly, how is Obama voting against the Constitution?
I was talking about most recently with that FISA bill.
That's true. I would agree with that. Against the Fourth Amendment, I agree. WBAI, you're on the air. Speak up. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm voting for Obama.
Okay. Tell us why, briefly.
Basically because I think he has a better foreign policy than McCain. I think he's slightly less crooked than McCain, only slightly, though. And,
okay.
And that's basically, I mean, lesser of two evils. You know
okay.
What I'm saying,
okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. WBAI, you're on the air. Speak up.
Got a question for you. Can you follow up a little bit more on how it is that Nader went from trying to build a third party to just building a cult of personality? What happened?
Okay, well, first of all, tell us how you're going to vote.
Obama.
You're going to vote for Obama. Okay. Justin, do you care to defend your man?
Yeah, I guess we saw in 2004 when he announced that he was going to run. That's when we first heard things like spoiler and also especially the attack on saying that he had like this ego, which is actually ludicrous because, you know, if you're trying to serve your ego, you don't do it by challenging authority because, you know, he just got shut down in the media. He got shut down also all over the place. You know, a lot of respected progressives, you know, were piling on him because he took a stand. And just it's hard for him to run. It's a lot of work. And it's not like he gains from it. So to say that
he doesn't gain from it,
he doesn't. What, like, he personally, no.
Well, he may not make money from it, but, he certainly advances his name and his ego.
But he already had a great reputation.
No, he had.
Reputation's only getting hurt.
All right, so he's doing it for completely selfless reasons. But even if he is,
to fix the country.
Okay,
we're screwed.
Okay, all right. But I think the caller was complaining about the lack of an effort to build a third party, and it's just sort of a one man show.
No, that's on the way. That's coming.
Okay,
that's building as
we'll take it on faith. All right, we got just a few more minutes left, unless. We could go into a few extra innings if weaponry doesn't show up, but let's keep going with the phone calls. 212-209-2900. Get straight to the point. Straight to the point. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm abstaining.
You're abstaining. Okay, why? Tell us why, real quick.
Well, there's absolutely no difference between the two candidates because they're backed by a party that sold us out. Once and it won't never sell me out again.
Okay, but you see,
absolutely no difference.
Well, hang on, you said two different things. Now, saying that the Democrats have sold us out before and they're going to sell us out again, I absolutely agree with that, no question. But to say that there's no difference, I can't go along with that. There clearly is significant difference in terms of their foreign policy, in terms of their domestic policy. There are significant differences. And, I mean, obviously, there's a very bitter divide in this country. So how can you say that there's no difference?
There is no difference, no significant difference to the issues that matter to the American people.
What about Roe versus Wade?
Listen, what about the most important thing that's affecting American people?
Right to have a gun.
No.
Oh.
Like spending trillions of dollars in this war.
Okay, but hang on a minute. You're kind of moving the goalpost here. I mean, I certainly agree that Obama is entirely too beholden to the national security establishment, and his whole out of Iraq into Afghanistan trip is really profoundly wrong. But that's not what you said. You said there's no difference. And clearly, first of all, on abortion rights, there's a difference, isn't there?
When you start getting down to the issues, the minor issues, I mean,
is abortion a minor issue?
Yeah, to me.
Oh, okay. Abortion is a minor issue. Well, I think a lot of our listeners would disagree with that.
Well,
WBAI, you're on the air. No, you're not. WBAI, you're on the air. No, you're not. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
Speak up.
Yeah, I'm voting for Obama. Bill, you're 100% right on what you just said to that last caller.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see how many more calls we can squeeze in. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm voting for the Green Party.
Woo! Okay, so another Green McKinney supporter. Okay, tell us why, real quick.
Well, first of all, I'm a Black American native. I am a disabled veteran, and I'm a gay male. Second,
okay,
both parties are trying to rewrite the Constitution, okay? And if there is a war, there is no economy. Come on, people, get a grip. Understand that. Yes, Obama sounds good, but No, I'm not falling for it. He looks pretty. No, I'm not falling for it.
Okay,
no.
Thank you. WBAI, you're on the air. How are you going to vote? Tell us real quick.
I'm going for Obama because McCain is talking the same stuff that Johnson and Nixon spoke during Vietnam. Kiss, stay the course, and we can't leave because they would have died in vain.
Okay, thank you. WBAI, you're on the air. Speak up, please.
I'd like to offer my opinion and ask a few questions. I mean, I'm just so excited by the democracy in action. It's so cool, you know?
Please do. Tell us real quick. How are you voting?
Oh, you want to know how I vote? Well, there are actually five things I would like to talk about.
Oh, God. No. Hang on a minute, man. Tell us how you're going to vote and why, very briefly, and then you can ask one question. Because really, it's 1:30, and we should really be off the air already.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are still on the air. Believe me, it's really cool.
Okay, get to the point.
Anyway, I probably are going to vote for McCain and Palin.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.